Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website. To the sad truth, the dirty
lowdown. Good morning. Thank you for tuning into another edition, a new week of The Lowdown. Mike Wall here in the studio with me, Sarah Phillips from the Chamber of Commerce on the line. We have Amy Williams from Discover Kodiak. Let me just kind of start off by saying thank you to everybody who's tuned in and who keeps sending us comments about things that we should be covering. We have suggestions for guests. We already have a list posted through the end of the week of some folks who are going to come in. I have some suggestions for adding some pieces to the show. One in particular asks for updates from Mike Murray at Safeway on a regular basis and updates from other guests who have come on before as to how they're doing. And I think that's a great idea. So if you have ideas like that, please shoot us an email to lowdown@kmxt.org or give us a call after the show here. We'd love to talk to you about your ideas for what kind of things you would like to hear about. And Amy and Sarah, you were in almost at the beginning of the program a couple weeks ago, right? Was it that long ago?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Time flies.
Time flies.
Time is really flying.
It
every day seems to be something different and something new, but they're sort of groundhoggy day in a way that we're revisiting things that we revisited a couple of weeks ago. But you guys are in the midst of the battle of saving the local business community, dealing with how this is having effects on the local business community, and that's got to be kind of a day-to-day progress thing that's changing all the time. So what are you doing lately that you can tell people about that would be helpful?
I think you're right. On Groundhog's Day, every morning I wake up and check my emails, check the news, and see all the new updates and see where we need to fill the community in. And I think, Amy, your days are probably pretty similar.
Yes. I get two emails in every morning, one from the New York Times and one that's another like compilation of stuff that's happened overnight. And I just kind of brace myself before I read them, and I read them, and then we actually have a place now where we can put those updates. So that's where we're getting some of our information.
So that's the big thing that we've rolled out in the last week that you want to talk about the most is this new website that you rolled out.
Yes, that was my sneaky segue.
Yeah, it was a good segue.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Sarah and I are both on a committee. It's actually called the Kodiak Economic Task Force. We've been meeting over the last few weeks since COVID-19 has become a statewide concern.
And who's the we? Put the people in the room for me.
Oh, yeah. So the people, luckily I have the website up so I can read the list.
I was going to say, Amy, I'm going to have to go to the website.
So membership on the Kodiak Economic Task Force includes John Whitten, James Turner, Sarah Phillips, Duncan Fields, Mark Anderson, Stacey Simmons, Julie Bonney, myself, Dan Rohr, and Captain Brylon Daly is the Coast Guard representative. So all those folks have been getting together via teleconference, of course, and talking about their areas of concern in the community. And we are, I guess, tasked by the Emergency Service Council to get a feel of what's going on in the community and report back to them.
Is this a new startup thing? Did this start just in response to the COVID thing?
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right.
So you got people from the fishing community, you got business investors, Coast Guard folks, and what am I missing here?
We've also got Native representatives and a banking representative.
Okay.
And obviously city and borough government officials on there.
And your purpose is to see what the economic effects of the COVID is having on the community? Is that what?
Yeah, well, the official purpose is to assist the Emergency Services Council by just recommending policies and procedures that would support all business and just the island residents. So the idea is the Emergency Services Council is extremely busy, and so we're just representatives talking to those different communities, excuse me, across the community. And so that allows them to have input without having to do it themselves.
Right. And so exactly part of that is gauging the economic impact. So that's the starting point. We have to know where we are before we know where we can go.
Okay. So you came up with, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to this? First was, let's set up a website and give people information. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the website is supposed to just be a one-stop shop for all Kodiak community members. It's a resource website. So whether you are a community member that has questions about health updates or the latest information from the Emergency Services Council or the state or national updates, any of that information can be found. Or maybe you're looking to help, whether it's donations or volunteering to be able to drive supplies to a family that's in quarantine, anything like that is available. You might be a small business curious about how to apply for some of the many loans that have been rolled out in the past few days, or a commercial fisherman representative understanding how to put together a safety protocol template for your vessel. We have it all.
So how much work was involved in brainstorming the whole thing is to say, okay, step one, let's do a website and what needs to go on there?
It's really been an evolving process, and Amy could speak a lot more about it, but it did initially start with those representatives from the task force offering information resources, and we just knew we needed one place for everyone to be able to go.
Okay. Amy, you want to talk a little bit more about how you put it together?
Sure. So we went through all those individual sectors that are represented by the task force. And so I knew I needed a page for each one of those. And then we branched out from there. And we wanted to add some, you know, not just medical information, but also mental health information. And so when it came time for crisis assistance, we wanted to make sure that we included our local nonprofits and the food bank. And so as we just thought about all of the needs that people could have, we tried to include information to answer that need. And so it's grown, it's gotten pretty big, but it's all set, and I think it's a really good resource for people.
It's when it originally rolled out, you thought you had the basics on there, what you really needed to put on there, but this is an evolving thing, so you're still looking to fill in more information. If people in the community know, here's a resource that's not on that thing if people want access to it. So you're constantly going to be updating this, right?
Yes. So we have set up an email just for that, so that people, if they are on the website and they're like, hey, something has changed, or this is not on there and we'd like to see it on there, they can contact us through an email, and that is info@kodiak.org.
Okay.
And so that's an easy email for people to remember, and that will get the information to either Sarah or myself, and we'll take a look at it and put it on there if it's appropriate to do so.
Now, do you envision that this thing is going to last for, is this a function of the EOC that's going to last for a long time, the ESC?
I hope it doesn't last a long time, just by the nature of what it is. But as long as we're in the pandemic, absolutely. We'll just keep it updated, and it'll be a resource for the community as long as it's needed.
Okay. Now, how do you filter what gets put on the website?
Well, so far, because we haven't announced it yet, it's mostly been just information from people on the task force or from Senator Sullivan's office. And so those have been easy to track and verify. As we get new information in, we just ask that people send, you know, what the information is, and then if it's applicable, where they found that information or what their source is, just so that we can verify that it's true. I don't anticipate a lot of people trying to get false information on the website, but I want to make sure it doesn't become political or favor, you know, one industry over another or anything like that. We just want to keep it factual. So we'll just, that's why we have multiple people looking at the information so we can take a look at it together.
Okay. Well, as quickly as things change, like even in the world of grants, what kind of resources are available to small businesses in the community? That seems like something that's changing every day, and it's going to take a lot of work to kind of keep it up and keep your website up.
That's exactly right. I actually get, every morning, I get an email from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and then typically one from the Small Business Administration. And so every time that they send me an updated link, we go ahead and update the links that we're providing to our small businesses. I think right now we're in the third template for one of the loan applications.
Yeah.
So Sarah has obviously been staying on top of that at the Chamber, and that has been great. And that website has grown. There is a small business option right off the front page. And once you go to the small business page, there's actually extra pages that jump out just for the different kinds of loans. For the federal stimulus package, it has its own. The Small Business Administration has its own. And then nonprofit has its own link too. So that is one part of the website that has grown and changed significantly. And so Sarah is exactly right. When she sees something come out that's new, we just make sure the latest version is on the website so that people aren't filling out an application, get it to the bank, and they're like, oh, sorry, this is the old template.
Sorry, wrong one. Yeah, right. Go back and spend another 12 hours.
Right.
One really important thing on that website for our businesses is the Kodiak Island COVID-19 Impact Survey. And that is a survey for any of our businesses here on Kodiak Island, big or small, it does not matter. It does not matter if you are a chamber member or anything else. Just fill out that survey if you are a business owner. That's the information we're using to gauge the economic impact that has happened to Kodiak. And that's exactly what we're using to...
Can you take this thing every week?
No, this is a one-time only survey, but we will take another survey. We'll issue another survey after the 15th that's going to have sort of an update on where's your business standing now. Were you able to obtain any loans? What new impacts are we seeing?
I got you. So how is that going to help?
Really, that supplies us information so that we know what kind of funding we're looking for. We know what kind of grants we might be able to apply for. It's so important throughout this whole process for our small businesses to document everything that's all the issues that they're facing, so that later when it comes, you know, odds are good that this first round of loans is not the only thing we're going to see. We know that the economic impact is going to be far reaching for a much longer period of time than just the next few weeks. And so we're trying to address that up front. If our entire community has a baseline that says this is where we were performing, and every few weeks, this is the impact, this is the difference that we've seen, then we've officially documented the impact to Kodiak, and we can say dollar for dollar, this is where we're seeing issues, and this is the sort of help we need. This is how much we need to rebound in the future.
So for lobbying effect, then, working with the big boys and working with the Alaska Council, and even from a local level, the more information we can get right now, the better off we'll be in the long run.
That's exactly right.
And tell me a little bit more about the survey then. When did you decide to do the survey? Is that a new thing?
The survey came out about a week and a half ago, and that was in response to the state Chamber of Commerce putting out their own survey. And so we then knew that we needed one at the local level. And once that survey was created, then we had the Kodiak Economic Task Force.
What do you know? You knew. I mean, you looked at it and you got it directed from them, or said, boy, if we don't do this on a local level, we're going to be in trouble, so we need to do it.
Right, yeah. The state chamber does not designate anything that our local chamber does, so this is just us seeing that they had a good idea, that they are getting a solid sampling size from the state of Alaska, and it's so important for Kodiak to be represented in that sample size. So the information that I collect here locally on the island, that's getting shared on a state and a federal basis.
I got you. So is ours a mirror of what the state survey was, or is ours particular?
It pulls about 90% of the same questions from the state survey, but then it definitely focuses in more on a local level here in Kodiak.
Okay. Now, how does that get, how does it get analyzed, and then where does it go when you finally get all the data?
That's a great question. We are working with an economic development specialist. We have not determined which one yet, but we know that those survey results will be analyzed by a professional.
Okay. So the information that you have now on the economic task force, that's probably the best place for a small business person to go to right now, other than their own local banks. I mean, this just links you to all the things that you know are available.
Right. I would say not just only for small businesses, but literally any Kodiak community member. We have just so much information available. If you have questions and need help navigating and understanding, hey, you know, my business is very specifically looking for this information and this information, the chamber's still open. We can help you. So give us a call, 486-5557, or you can email us. Again, info@kodiak.org is for the website specific, but anyone with questions can also email us at chamber@kodiak.org.
How are we dealing with the non-English speaking members of the community?
You know, we don't have a solid solution yet for that. I know that Amy was looking into some resources and seeing how many languages we could put this information into. But Amy, you'd have to take it away on any updates you found.
So if organizations have provided resources that are in multiple languages, we are posting them. The Kodiak Island Borough School District is doing a really good job with that. I just saw the new schedule come out in a couple of different versions, so those will go up later today under that tab. But the like everything on there except for that is solely English as of right now, unless I see it posted in other languages.
Okay. So the website sends a one-stop for everybody. You want everybody in the community to go there if they have questions. Regardless of whether it's a small business, this is give us information about the virus, give us information about emergency services available. Yeah,
that's exactly
that's
right.
It.
Yep, one stop huge, shop, the whole community.
That is a huge job. I'm assuming your IT person is amazing.
Amy is really amazing.
I didn't know IT people wore little sock pajamas.
They do.
Like
monkey pajamas. And that's the beauty of working from home sometimes. Yes, once the task force decided they needed a website, I had already built the Kodiak.org site, and so I'm extremely familiar with that software, so I knew it could be done. When the task force first saw it, it was not nearly as pretty as it is now. But it is evolving, and the latest updates, there's a little star on the top right that you can get to all the latest updates, and I think that's really helpful when people are like, oh, hey, I heard this. Is that true? You know, they can just click there and see if it's on that page, and I think that's very helpful.
And it's mobile-friendly, too.
Great. From a tourism point of view, has anything changed for you in the last week and a half?
We also did our own impact study just for tourism-based businesses. That has already opened and closed. I just wanted a snapshot of where we were over a specific amount of time, so ours was really short. We'll redo that later. I found that about 80% of our people who responded said that they are looking at a 40 to 50% loss in revenue for the 2020 season as compared to 2019. So that's scary for everyone. I think the biggest question mark in tourism is just, are we going to be able to have tourists later this year or not, and how to plan for that? And because there's no way to answer that, it just makes it, people are very anxious to find out how the season is going to play out. So we still have cruise ships on our schedule, but as if you've been watching the cruise ship world, you can see the Port of Seattle has closed until the pandemic is over in Seattle. And Canada is not allowing any cruise ships in their ports until after July 1st. So that is definitely affecting all cruises that come up to Alaska. So that's still a situation that has to play out. I would imagine that we see a significant decline in the cruise ships that are currently scheduled to come in, especially the ones that are supposed to be here for the month of June.
What dollar amount are we talking here in the tourism business? I mean, how much income is a 40 to 50% reduction in income all told throughout our industry?
I wish I could give you an answer to that. That's a that's something we would love to know. We just don't, just because of the amount of money that study would take.
Yeah.
If you could build a website for that, I'd be on it. But I don't know. The article that came out just from bear season was $3 million, just to the a hit to the Kodiak economy just from the cancellation of bear season. So
I'm still having a hard time grasping where they came up with that number.
I don't know. No one asked me. I'm not in that article.
Okay. Nice deflection.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So how far have people kicked the ball down the road? I mean, are we now looking at a group that has said, you know, optimistically, we're going to think maybe we're back on our feet in June or July?
I think most people that I have talked to, the ones that have reached out to us, are thinking more of a July timeframe. The Kodiak in July and August is kind of when we're at our peak for tourism. So I think that's when the people are hoping that people are able to travel. Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns in that scenario, but I think one of the biggest unknowns is just, you know, even when the restrictions are lifted and it's legal to travel here and you don't have to quarantine, how comfortable are people actually going to feel doing that? So traveler sentiment is something that, you know, that could take a longer, much longer time to rebound than just the travel restrictions. So it's just going to, you know, my own family is scheduled to come here in the beginning of August. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, is it safe for them to do so? So we will see.
Sarah, let's talk a little bit about the resources that are available to you and to others from outside the community. I mean, when we talked a little bit about, you know, the town hall meetings, the Chamber of Commerce has a town hall. You mentioned that there's an Alaska Chamber that has a weekly meeting, is that right, or daily?
So the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has daily briefing emails that they send out, and you can easily get on their email list.
What value would that be to somebody who's in a local business to get to have access to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Well, again, that's where I'm consulting for a lot of my resources that I'm putting on the website. So yeah, they get those information blasts as soon as I do. So it's updates about the loan process. It's updates about impact surveys. It's updates about lobbyists and what current goals are for those lobbyists. Just a wealth of information, really. It depends on your business here in Kodiak, but I think every business has something of value they can get from those emails.
Okay. How about participatory thing? I understand that there's actually a kind of a Zoom platform, maybe Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Yeah.
What value would that be to the local Joe who's trying to keep his pizza place open or whatever, you know?
So what I really recommend is the Small Business Administration does a weekly webinar where they answer questions directly from Alaska businesses. So we have an Alaska Small Business Administration representation, and they sit down and they go through all the questions once a week whatever new questions any business here in Alaska has, any business can join. They can just reach out to the chamber at chamber@kodiak.org, and we can get them the information for that.
Okay, so now what information would they have that would be different than what you could provide as the local person?
Well, here locally, I am not an expert on all the loans. You know, I learn often with our members what updates are happening with the loan process, whether it's a new business that's able to apply for those loans. 2 weeks ago, 501c6s were not eligible to apply. And then just a few days ago, they did allow that eligibility for 501c6s. So,
which is you guys.
That's exactly right. The chamber is a 501c6.
So did you apply?
I was grateful. No, that is my project this afternoon. Yeah. And it is important to apply as early as possible because those funds are limited. I actually did read today that Wells Fargo is closing out those loans because they have hit that 10 million, I think, in funds. Gosh, maybe it's more per lender that are eligible. So they know that they've received enough loan applications right now that they can easily satisfy that amount of maximum that they are allowed to lend. And so I know that they're working for a waiver to get more funds.
That's Wells Fargo.
That's Wells Fargo.
And how many banks do we have in town that are actually offering the program?
So I know that we have North Rim Bank, which is not necessarily in town, but they do have a local presence. So you can go to North Rim Bank. But again, go to that website, that KodiakEconomicTaskForce.com. That has all the bank information and who's going to be able to apply. And we'll continue to update that as we get the information.
So is it your understanding this is round one of those loans, those small business loans that are going to be available?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I know that all the time they are working to provide more programs and opportunities to save businesses federally, state, and local. I know all options are being explored for now and in the future.
So of the stimulus package that was passed, mm-hmm. and so much of it was allocated for this program, are you mm-hmm. saying that in round one, it's because they haven't allocated all the funding yet? Or are they actually sort of saying, this is how much money we have in the whole program. If we divvy it out over this many banks and they give out that many loans, we're broke.
So my understanding is really that the first round of federal legislation for these loan programs has been rolled out saying, okay, we know they determined their factors based on covering 2.5 weeks of payroll for all small businesses in the United States. And so it's really a re-examination period after this. What impact did that loan have on our small businesses? What do they need next?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the information I've gotten from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Let's morph into Crab Festival, shall we?
I was waiting for it.
You know, I mean, we're in troubled times, and to talk about Crab Festival seems it's good in a way because it's really optimistic, right? I mean, you know,
that's
there's
right.
a light at the end of the tunnel, and we're going to get through this, and then we're going to celebrate.
Yeah, we are going to party.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So, yeah, if people haven't heard, Crab Fest has been rescheduled to August 19th through the 23rd.
That must have been just a tough thing for you to have to had to do.
That was a heartbreaking thing to have to do. But one thing that gives me a little bit of solace is Crab Fest has been held in August one other time.
Really?
And yeah, that was after the earthquake and tsunami of 64.
I don't think I was here, man.
I was not. So yeah,
going
through some historical documents, that made me feel a little bit better that yes, major crises have pushed Crab Festival in the past. And
do you have any documentation from the people that were involved back then about, you know, making the decision and doing that? That
would know, be... I don't. I don't have that documentation. I just know that that's one of the things that happened.
Keep yours, you know?
You know,
30 years from now.
The Kodiak History Museum has already reached out to me requesting some of that information.
Really?
And so I've been able to provide it to them because, yes, this is, you know, it was amazing because it was a very stressful, tough decision. Like I say, just heartbreaking. We know that a lot of the fishermen are impacted by this decision, and Crab Festival is, you know, was initially created as a celebration of the end of the crabbing season. And so for us to make that decision that we know impacts so many of our fishermen, including the salmon fishermen, knowing that they're likely excluded, it's heartbreaking. It's not what we wanted to do. You know, the decision really stemmed from what is the last available date in the summer before kids are going back to school, you know, as long as school dates stand where they are, that we can hold this and that we can have some participation from off-island vendors and even our local vendors. We tried so hard. It was a really heartbreaking decision. And I come from a Coast Guard family here, and I know that we're missing a lot of the Coast Guard transferees this summer, including our logo designer.
What's up with that? I mean, you guys had mentioned it last time you were in here. Isn't there a transfer date sometime in the middle of the summer?
You know, transfer dates are pretty flexible based on what orders you receive in the Coast Guard. And so, yeah, a lot of our transfers happen in June and July. And so, unfortunately, a lot of our families that are moving out this year won't be able to attend Crab Fest. And like I say, Olga Simpson designed our logo this year, and is one of them transferring
out.
But
it goes two ways, right? I mean, you're supposed to move out. There's move out and move in.
Right. That's exactly right.
And both of them are... You're not doing either one right now, right?
You know, I am not up to date on all the changes that happened during PCS season because I am not actually impacted by that this year. So, but yes, I do know that some of the PCSing, which is permanent change of station for those listeners who don't know, PCSing has been temporarily postponed right now.
So all those people that were going to Alabama don't have to go now.
That's right. They get Kodiak a little bit longer. Lucky them.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in quarantine in Kodiak than I think anywhere else.
Just about. Yeah. Okay. So we're logistically, it must have been crazy just to try and say, all right, we're off. We're not doing it. Let's pick another date. And then you got to do all the work to get things rolling to do it again.
That's right. Yes, logistically, it is a nightmare. We had opened our applications for our vendors to fill out so that we would know who is coming. Those are still open. Those applications are still open. But obviously, it's going to take a little bit more time for people to decide if they're able to come. We did make the announcement far enough out in advance because... Again, logistically, many of our vendors need to start ordering supplies even last week. And so for us to be able to let them know, hey, hold off, you don't have to spend this money that you probably don't have right now. Wait, we'll do it later. And we really think by the end of August, we're hoping people have their paychecks rolling again.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what your groundwork every day has changed to be. I mean, it's the community has had to evolve and change what they're doing. And working with these businesses that are shut down or businesses that are even emergency service businesses that are still open, what kind of innovative changes are you seeing from people who want to keep things going?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I have a really fantastic staff that is able to help me reach out to so many of our members right now. Our community relations director, Jenna Lowmaster, spent all week last week gathering and compiling the restaurants that are open and the services that they're offering. So she has posted that on our Facebook page, and it's going to shortly appear on this Kodiak Economic Task Force website. But our restaurants have gotten so innovative on the hours they're open, and the ways that you can order and pay so that there's zero contact options. The restaurants have really blown it out of the park and how quickly they were able to adapt to our new business situation and in the needs of our community. And those are essential services. They're cooking meals so that we don't have to inundate our grocery stores and max out that capacity. And
they still keep people employed, too.
That's exactly right. It's important to keep Kodiak's economy moving right now. And you'll see so many of our local businesses, too, are offering personalized shopping via Facebook video chats.
Really?
And purchasing gift card options. Yeah, absolutely. I know that the Frame Shop has special things that they can do where you take pictures of what you want framed and they can do a digital mock-up for you and do pickup and drop-off services so that you can have your things framed. You know, so many people right now that are at home are finding all these house projects that they've been putting off forever that they want to do, right?
Really?
I feel like you have one.
I'd love to do it. I would love to go home and do some projects.
So
I'd be in the middle of a teaching environment, though. Right. My house has been transformed into a little school.
A little homeschool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, our businesses have done an amazing job at adapting for that. They are still open, most of them, in some way, shape, matter, or form to be able to help that economy moving, to keep paychecks flowing through the community.
So other than the restaurant industry, who else? I mean, the Frame Shop, what other businesses in the last week and a half have sort of said, you know, I'm going to keep open. Here's a way I can stay in business.
Yeah, I'm probably going to miss plenty because, like I say, it's my staff doing most of the outreach to our businesses because I'm stuck on conference calls getting all these updates.
Yeah, well,
right,
going to the radio station. Darn. What am I going to talk to him about?
But I know Grand Slam Toys and Games has started doing virtual shopping so that you can call into them and say, hey, what games do you have? You know, we're bored. We want to play some games.
Super cool.
Yeah, exactly. So they're doing virtual shopping. I know that Ardinger's has a few things that they're trying to work out and roll out. Most of our businesses are finding a way to get online. So instead of online shopping somewhere else, please think local first. So many of our businesses are working so hard to adapt. Don't forget about them. I'm just trying to run down my list. Yes, please, Amy. Yes.
Sorry. So I just got my first delivery that came from the Islander Bookshop.
Oh, yeah.
They put their entire bookstore online, well, as much as she could, as fast as she could. But so you just go on their website, deliver. It took about 2 weeks for my stuff to get here because it's coming from off island. But it's here, and I've started reading and enjoying that. And one thing I wanted to mention, the Chart Room is doing something pretty innovative with family dinners to go. They have a menu that it goes all week long, and you can either stop by and pick up a meal for four or a meal for six ready to go. And so that's, I think, a really neat option. It's all planned out for you and ready to pick up. So people are making things very easy to access them. Java Flats is doing an excellent job with call ahead, pay ahead, go through their drive-through. I know the brewery has a new drive-through window. So lots of options. If you have a favorite place to go, contact them because there's probably an option to get their stuff in a really easy way.
This seems like a perfect thing to have, like a shop COVID local, you know, website that had a list of all of the businesses that had new things available. I mean,
That's coming. That is in the works. It'll be on that Kodiak Economic Task Force website.
Sweet.
Yes, I just added the page, and then there's a link off of that page, Mike, that goes to the Facebook group that we set up, or actually it's a Facebook page that we set up. And so that allows people to see if people have changed their hours or if they are offering something new that gets updated in that Facebook group. So that's been really helpful.
Yeah, Norman's has been posting some really cool stuff on that as far as their updates and their personal shopping too.
Cool.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mention that name. On Facebook, it's called Shop, Eat, Explore Kodiak.
That's the little box you would go to?
Yep, that's the Facebook page.
No, that's a Facebook page. But that is linked to off the website, of course. And that will take you, and so people, businesses are able to post updates on that Facebook page as things change at their business or what they're offering. So that's a good resource as well.
So this would be a great thing for businesses to be involved in. If we could get people to actually go to this website regularly, and I put in a plug that, you know, you can go to it shortly if you go to KMXT, because we're going to have a link on our page that will get you there. Shameless self-promotion.
Thank you.
No. It's definitely a lot shorter than the other website.
Yeah, you've got like a mouthful of a name to try it. Well, what's the name of that thing? How do I get to it? Once you get to it one time and bookmark it, then you'll be able to get to it all the time. But it sounds like a great resource for people that are local businesses to be able to use to let people know what kind of things that they have available. Because we are stuck here now.
Yeah.
And there's more than one reason to shop locally than there is to try and get things through the mail.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was always a price difference in the past, right? I can get something 24 cents cheaper if I go online to buy it from someplace in China.
Which is really too bad, because if one of the local businesses here in town has it, show it to them. And a lot of them do price matching.
Really?
Yes. I'm so sad you didn't know. Yes.
I do. I was just playing stupid. I do that quite well. But
you fooled me. You did it.
That's the, yeah, my bad acting.
on that website, on the Kodiak Economic Task Force forwards.com, there is a how to help page, and off of that how to help page, one of the other things that listed are the businesses that contacted us and let us know that they sold gift cards online. And so that you can, you know, from home, get a digital code and send that to someone or give that as a gift. With Easter coming up, we would love to see some gift cards and Easter baskets if that's what your family does. And that's a really easy way to get them off that how to help page.
Wow. You know, you guys can fill an hour pretty easily.
You know, I'm pretty shocked. We didn't think this was going to happen.
You know, thank you both for what you're doing to try and help the community out. I think with your help and what the resources that we have out there and everybody participating, we're gonna be able to keep things going. So... thanks for coming in and sharing time with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, it's been fun. That'll do it for today's edition of The Lowdown. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have representatives from the fishing community in town talk about fishing seasons and safety issues and everything else related to that. If you have questions, shoot us an email, lowdown@kmxt.org, or give us a call. Have a good day.